Would you turn with me, please, to Amos chapter 5? I won't look out to see who is able or unable to find it. But I would really encourage you to be familiar with, here I'm already past Amos into Zechariah. Amos is a tremendously relevant book. If someone just gave you a pamphlet of Amos, you might think that it was written in the New Testament days. Amos was a shepherd, a lowly shepherd from the south who was sent to the north to preach. And they didn't like his preaching and told him to go back home. You ever been told to go back home that you don't belong here? That's been said before. I don't live very far from where I grew up, and yet I've been told to go back to Syracuse. I don't see the difference between Buffalo and Syracuse. Not much anyway. But he had a very serious message. Get right with God or else. He was telling them they weren't right with God. And only a wise man appreciates rebuke, the scripture says. Well, among other things, certainly in his message, he said, if you don't get right with the Lord, he explained what the else was. And I want us to think about or else today. That's not the title of the message, but I suppose it could be. Get right with God or else. We're considering the or else today. We have looked at Christ's doctrine of hell, of Hades, of Gehenna. We've looked at Christ's doctrine of heaven. I felt that we should keep going and consider some of the other crests, some of the other peaks as we peer toward the future. I know there's a lot in between the peaks, but often we see the peaks. If you're standing on top of a peak and you look way out, you can see mostly peaks. And you really can't see necessarily between the peaks. Sometimes there's fog in between. And the Scripture does let us see some peaks in the future. And we looked at a couple of those. We looked at the peak of heaven and the peak of hell. And I want us to consider today the or else. The peak of judgment day. Amos chapter 5 will commence at verse 14. Seek good and not evil, that ye may live, and so the Lord, the God of hosts, shall be with you, as ye have spoken. Hate the evil and love the good, and establish judgment in the gate. It may be that the Lord God of hosts will be gracious unto the remnant of Joseph. Therefore the Lord, the God of hosts, the Lord, saith thus. Notice the two different lords here. Thus saith Jehovah, the God of hosts, Adonai, saith thus. Wailing shall be in all streets, and they shall say in all the highways, alas, alas. And they shall call the husbandmen to mourning, and such as are skillful of lamentation to wailing. And in all vineyards shall be wailing, for I will pass through thee, saith the Lord. Woe unto you that desire the day of the Lord. To what end is it for you? The day of the Lord is darkness and not light, as if a man did flee from a lion and a bear met him, or went into the house and leaned his hand upon the wall, or on the wall, and a serpent bit him. Shall not the day of the Lord be darkness and not light, even very dark, and no brightness in it? I hate, I despise your feast days, and I will not smell in your solemn assemblies. Though ye offer me burnt offerings and your meat offerings, I will not accept them, neither will I regard the peace offerings of your fat beasts. Take thou away from me the noise of thy songs, for I will not hear the melody of thy vials. But let judgment run down as waters, and righteousness as a mighty stream. Let's turn to Zephaniah chapter 1. After Habakkuk, Zephaniah chapter 1. We'll commence at verse 14. The great day of the Lord is near, it is near, and hasteth greatly, even the voice of the day of the Lord. The mighty man shall cry there bitterly. That day is a day of wrath, a day of trouble and distress, a day of wasteness and desolation, a day of darkness and gloominess, a day of clouds and thick darkness, a day of the trumpet and alarm, against the fenced cities and against the high towers. In other words, there will be no defense against the Lord. And I will bring distress upon men, that they shall walk like blind men, because they have sinned against the Lord. And their blood shall be poured out as dust, and their flesh as the dung. Neither their silver nor their gold shall be able to deliver them in the day of the Lord's wrath. But the whole land shall be devoured by the fire of his jealousy. For he shall make even a speedy riddance of all them that dwell in the land. And then please turn with me to the New Testament scriptures, to Revelation chapter 20. For the sake of time, I will begin at verse 10. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged, every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. After reading these solemn passages, you can understand how and why God's people could say, as Job said, though he didn't have those passages of Scripture, he had his revelation from God to make this claim, and we can certainly, with Job, say, "Be ye afraid of the sword, for wrath bringeth the punishments of the sword, that ye may know there is a judgment." Perhaps we could entitle the message today, May Day for Judgment Day. Or we could entitle it, Schedule the Judgment Day in your calendar. Or count on the Day of Judgment. Man doesn't factor a whole lot into his future except the future that he has on earth. so he thinks. But the Bible says there's a future beyond earth. And there's a good future and there's a bad future. And the Lord Jesus Christ is the dividing line. May Day is a signal, a cry of alarm for help in perceived danger. Enemy is invading, perhaps a flight problem on an airplane or a danger on a voyage. It's certainly an expression of grief, of alarm, of concern. The Bible's word we find often in the Old Testament is the word alas, alas, for the day of the Lord is at hand. We might liken the word alas to the word we know, Mayday. It is an expression of the surprise of grief. Mayday is certainly a word that we need, or a concept, a concern that we need to bring, an alarm that we need to bring to the world today. And perhaps we could even ponder Mayday for payday. You know, Billy Sunday had a sermon that he used to preach, and he entitled it Payday Sunday. I don't know why he called Payday Sunday. Maybe because he felt that it was that people didn't give God the Sundays that he deserved, knowing as he did as a Reformed Presbyterian evangelist that Sunday was the Lord's day, Sunday was the Sabbath day. And you remember what the Lord did to Israel. You won't keep my Sabbaths, which are time that I have commanded you to set aside to worship your Creator and your Redeemer. I will get that payback. You will be in Babylon for 70 years and wish that you had a Sabbath day, as you should have in these days. Joel 1:15 speaks of, alas for the day of Jehovah is at hand. Jeremiah says, alas for that day is great. Zephaniah, the great day of Jehovah is near. That day is a day of wrath and of darkness. We go into the New Testament and John the Baptist preached to flee from the wrath to come. The Lord Jesus spoke of that day as the day of judgment. In Revelation, it's the great day of His wrath that has come, and who shall abide it? It's also called a day in which God will judge the world. I want us to consider the facts and the events and the persons involved on the day of God's judgment. That these truths demand a cry of alarm from believers, and a cry of repentance for urgent mercy from those who are lost. Schedule the judgment day in your calendar, friend. For every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Consider the reality and the reason of judgment day. Day is indicative of something that's real. Yes, day is a literal 24-hour period or a literal time period in the Bible. There are times day is used as 24 hours, like the evening and the morning were the first day, the days of creation. And there's a time when day is used of a time period, the day of God's wrath. It is nonetheless speaking of something that's real. The Lord spoke of it being near, of that which is to come, that which shall be. This is not indicative of something that's figurative. The Bible says, everyone shall give account of himself to God. It speaks of reality, personal accountability. In Acts 17, it says, God has appointed a day when. That speaks of time. That speaks of real time. when He shall judge the world in righteousness. Just like place speaks of a literal piece of space, a literal piece of ground, a place. So when speaks of literal time in the future. The reason for the day of judgment, we sinned in Adam. It is sin. The Bible says, for instance, of man's sin in Romans 5, by the offense of one, judgment came upon all men to condemnation. It is sin that brings judgment and condemnation. Sin in Adam, original sin, actual sins, for the Bible says everyone shall be judged according to his works, and whether they be good or whether they be evil. In particular, the rejection of the gospel will be considered at the day of judgment. Man will be judged for his sin in Adam and for his individual sins, his actual sins, whether or not he's heard the gospel, which answers to those who say, what of those who've never heard the gospel? Man is judged for his sins against God. What aggravates man's judgment is his rejection of the gospel. And this is indicated, for instance, in 2 Thessalonians 1, where it says that Christ will come in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God. There's your sin against God, your sin against general revelation, your sin against natural revelation, and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. There's your sin against special revelation, against the Scripture, against the gospel light. The day of judgment is a reality, and there's a very logical reason for it. It is sin. Interestingly, I heard something that I have never really thought through that far before. That someone was speaking of the confession of the thief on the cross. And he said, we have received the just reward of our deeds. And the preacher said, I can't say this for certain, but I would like to ask the thief when I get to heaven, did you mean by that the deeds that you committed against the Romans? Or did you actually go further and you understood in your heart your deeds, your evil deeds against God? That you were suffering not just as a criminal of the Roman Empire, but you were suffering ultimately for your sins against the kingdom of God, against the Lord. And I think that preacher is getting on to what perhaps that criminal understood as he pondered that our Savior on the middle cross. The reality and reason of the day of judgment is enough to cause us to shudder. It's real. It's not figurative. There are people that are trying to promote that judgment is in this life. The judgment takes on a figurative conclusion. That men and women, when they die, that their judgment is that they're annihilated. I say that this goes against the fabric and the momentum of Scripture. The reality and reason of the judgment indicates that there's going to be a period of time, an actual event, called the day of judgment, that every human being and every angel will take part in. I believe the Bible gives us the time and place of the day of judgment. The Lord Jesus gives us an indication of the time of this judgment. He says it is after the resurrection. It is the resurrection of damnation. In other words, damnation occurs after the resurrection. Resurrection of damnation, what does that mean? Resurrection unto damnation. The reason for the resurrection is to appear at the day of judgment, at the day of condemnation, at the place of damnation, which is another word for judgment or condemnation. Daniel 12, it says, many of them that sleep in the dust shall awake, some to everlasting life, but some to shame and everlasting contempt. In other words, they are not brought to the place where they will be experiencing shame and then everlasting contempt until they awake, which is the resurrection. So it gives us an indication of the time. We can't say year and month and day, but we can say that it will occur after the general resurrection of the dead. Revelation 20, it says, death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. This occurs, we read this or we considered this together in Revelation 20. The sea gave up the dead which were in it, which is obviously referring to the bodies. Many people have been buried at sea, notably 2 or 3 football players recently in the Gulf Coast, off the Gulf Coast of Florida. One day the sea will give up, as it were, their bodies. People have wondered, how can the Lord raise the body of a person which was swallowed by a fish, and that fish was swallowed by another fish, and another fish, and another fish, and another fish, and another fish. And perhaps it ends up in the body of a man somewhere on the other side of the coast. And who knows where all the elements end up before at the end of time. Don't underestimate the power of God. If He can create the heavens and the earth in 6 days, and He could have done it in 6 seconds, He's an omnipotent God that can do it, and He's an omniscient God that knows where those elements are. And then He says, death and Hades delivered up the dead which were in them. And again, death speaks of the body. Many have been buried. We might even say most people are in the ground rather than in the sea. And of course, the Lord is going to raise them. There are many who are buried in anonymous graves. Many, we can't even find their graves. Cemeteries that are long lost. God is going to call the bodies from their graves. But when He says that Hades delivered up the dead, He's referring now to the soul. The Lord Jesus said that the rich man died, but in Hades He lifted up His eyes, being in torment. So we're being told that when men and women appear before the one who sits at the great white throne judgment, the one who sits there on that throne at the day of judgment, it is after the resurrection. We're not exactly sure of the exact location. The time will be after the resurrection. The place will be somewhere between heaven and earth. I can't say whether it may be on the earth, but it says, I saw a great white throne, and the heaven and the earth fled from before Him. So perhaps it will take place between heaven and earth. But the Lord tells us there will be a throne. And there will be the Savior who sits upon the throne. For God says that He will judge the world in righteousness through that man whom He raised from the dead. It is real. It is reasonable to expect judgment. It is reasonable that everyone will stand before the divine judge and be justified ultimately or condemned ultimately. It is only logical, for many people have gotten away with their crimes. Many people have lived out their sins without forgiveness. They will have to be brought to the great day of assize. It is real, it is reasonable. The time is after the resurrection. The place is unknown, but it is a real location. The standard and the criminals. I believe that the Lord indicates that the books are open. What book? What standards. Well, the Bible says the heavens declare the glory of God and the firmament showeth His handiwork. I didn't know that You existed. Yes, You did. You repressed that knowledge. You saw the heavens and the earth. You saw My handiwork. The Bible says that day unto day they expressed that they had a Creator. Night unto night, their language was heard. There were no language barriers. The Tower of Babel, though it separated men, the heavens and the earth know no language except the language of all men. The French and the English and the Germans and the Russians and the Japanese and the Chinese can all look up into the heavens and say, God is a God of glory. The One who made all this has to be a glorious God, as Saul of Tarsus understood. For at the time of the noonday sun, when the midday sun was shining and blinding his eyes, he sensed and saw the light above the noonday sun. The Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of Righteousness, come. The other book will be the law, will be open, that was written on man's heart. What about the law on your heart? You know, every person doesn't appreciate being lied to. Even the pygmies of the jungles don't appreciate when you take something that is theirs. They have an inkling of right and wrong. They have the law of God written on their conscience. But again, man would rewrite the laws. Man would like to chisel out any thought of having the image and superscription of God. The gospel, the Word of God, the written Word will be a book that's open. For those who have heard, for those who have read, for those who have had believers plead with them about their souls. Yes, there will be plenty of standards by which the King will judge. The criminals. The Bible says, I saw the dead. The criminals are those who are dead to God. Dead in their trespasses and sins. Alive unto sin. Dead to God. And the Bible says they'll be small and great. You know, we're going to see a lot of people at Judgment Day that we have no clue who they are. We're going to see the notorious but unknown criminals. We're going to see people that were obscure in their own neighborhoods. But we're going to see the great that everybody knows about. The great who have been written in tabloids and find their way in the newspaper almost every day. The great who were seen on screens and heard on radios and seen in their mansions. We're going to see kings and queens. We're going to see great stars of the stage and stars of the theater and stars of the fields, football fields and soccer fields. We're going to see great people in their day. The Bible says that the goat shall be on Christ's left hand. The Bible says that those that will be standing that day trembling will be those whose names are not written in the book of life. Those that are out of Christ. Those that know not God and obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Those who remain fearful and unbelieving, whoremongers, liars. Those who did not have their sins forgiven and cleansed by the blood of the Lamb. Even the devil and his demons will have this fate. But by the time that Judgment Day actually comes, where every person is there, the sheep on his right and the goats on his left, the devil and his angels and the beast and the false prophet will already be in the lake of fire. Perhaps I should back up a little bit. Is it possible that the demons will be there? Because the Bible says we shall judge angels. The saints shall judge angels, 1 Corinthians 5. Whatever be the case, not a person will escape. Every knee will bow to me. The rich and the poor meet together. The Lord is the maker of them all. God has ordained the day of judgment. All men shall be there. The Scripture says that men will cry for the rocks and the hills to fall upon them. In other words, they would rather die than stand before the wrath of the Lamb. This is serious business. Although we could capture some of that solemnity, seriousness. You see, friend, whether you're rich or poor, or whatever nationality, if you're without Christ, you're a criminal in God's sight. You've committed the crime against sin. And sin ultimately is a crime against God, even if your sin's against man, because they're a sin against His law. And ultimately, man seeks to strip himself of any semblance of God. He wants to strip himself of the image and superscription of God. He doesn't want to retain God in his knowledge. You see, friend, God is already in front of you and behind you and beside you. God is there at judgment day. You can deny Him now and you can repress and suppress things today. But the day is going to come where you're going to open your eyes and see the Lord Jesus Christ on His throne. Hide in the blood of the Lamb is the message. Mayday, mayday, for judgment day is coming soon. It's real, it's reasonable. There's a time and a place and a standard. There are criminals that will be there. There will be a prosecution and a judge. The Lord says, if you're going to judge my son, that God was pleased to use Jesus Christ to be the judge at that last day. Where it says again in Acts chapter 17 that God has ordained a day in which He will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom He hath ordained, whereof He hath given assurance unto all men. Who is He, you say? How do we know who's going to be the judge? The prosecutor? The one who sits on that great white throne. Tell us, who is He? I have showed you. I raised Him from the dead. The Lord cometh to judge the world. He shall judge the world in righteousness. Psalm 96. There won't be any need for prosecuting attorneys. Jesus is the prosecuting attorney. There won't be any need for human judges, ultimately, for He is the judge. You see, friend, He's either your Savior or your judge today. If He's your judge, plead with Him to become your Savior. If He's your Savior, He's been judged for your sins. There are witnesses and a jury. The sheep will be on His right hand. The saints shall judge the world. The Queen of the South shall rise in judgment with this generation. For she came many, many miles to hear of a man who is just a reflection of God. And you wouldn't even go across the street to hear the message of the Son of God. The Ninevites shall rise up in the judgment with this generation. For they repented at the word of a rebellious missionary. And you wouldn't succumb and humble yourself at the message of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. The angels will be there. The angels of God. They will be the witnesses. We will be the witnesses and the jury. It's a serious thing, friend. May Day. Schedule the judgment into your calendar. Schedule judgment day in your mind. Prepare to meet thy God, as Amos also said earlier in his prophecy. The sentence in the prison. It's too late if you appear there at his left hand. It's too late if you appear there unsaved, undone. Because there's no second chance. You will awake to shame and everlasting contempt. That will be your sentence, friend. Oh, how shameful it will be to stand there in front of all people and say, you're lost. Especially to those who've heard the gospel over and over and over again. Eternal damnation, Mark 3:29. Everlasting fire. You shall receive greater damnation. There are degrees of punishment. There are degrees of sentences. And there is a prison. There is a temporary prison today called Hades. The wicked shall be turned into Hades. The wicked shall be turned into Sheol and all the nations that forget God. In hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torments. I have the keys of Hades. Death and Hades delivered up the dead which were in them. Hades is the prison today. But Gehenna and the lake of fire is the prison tomorrow. How shall you escape the damnation of Gehenna? Fear him who can cast both soul and body into Gehenna. He who casts the soul into Hades today, one day will cast the body and the soul into Gehenna. Whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. The furnace of fire, Gehenna, everlasting fire, unquenchable fire. Isn't this enough for us to signal the alarm, brothers and sisters? That there's a heaven to gain? There's a hell? There's a Gehenna to shun? There will be a sentencing at that day. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. There will be arguments, supposedly. Lord, did we not cast out demons in your name? Did we not do good things for you? They will have no defense attorneys because they're all criminals. They're their defense attorney. We understand that concept that people represent themselves, but usually it doesn't work. You may have your strong arguments, but they're weak. They'll be demolished at that day. You see, the Lord will get the last word. If you notice in Matthew, when the Lord records what men are going to attempt to argue, depart from me, ye that work iniquity, are the last words. The Lord gets the last word. You know, he who speaks last wins. The sentence in the prison are serious, are real. The executioners, they stand there undone, naked, guilty, condemned. But the Lord has His executioners. This morning we considered this somewhat in our Sabbath school. And it does seem like retribution. Remember that at Christ's judgment, God used many executioners. He used the Jews and the servants of the high priests to punch him, to mock him, to spit upon him, to flog him. The soldiers to punch him, to put a crown of thorns into His skull, to crucify Him. Herod and Pilate, as it says of Herod, he mocked Christ, put a gorgeous robe upon Him and set Him at naught. In other words, the wording there is they made light of Him. They mocked Him. They embarrassed Him, so they thought. Made sport of Him like they did to Samson. God used the people when they mocked the Lord. God may have even used demons, for I suppose that the devil and his angels were there to accuse Christ, to make Him discouraged, to falsely accuse Him, to attack Him mentally and verbally. But God was the ultimate executioner. My God, why hast Thou forsaken Me? You know, after all the men and the demons, they were nothing comparative. As it were, the Lord could shut out all that. But then He could not shut out that the wrath of God fell upon Him in immeasurable strength. God executed Jesus Christ. It seems that at the sinner's judgment, God will use many executioners. Hear these words. 1 Corinthians 6, the saints shall judge the world. Matthew 13, the angels shall gather and throw them into the furnace of fire. The books will be there to be the executioners. The facts. I didn't do this. I didn't do that. It says right there. Right there. The book of history. I recorded your idle words. Every idle word that men shall speak shall give account in the day of judgment. I saw that theft. I saw that lust, and it has been recorded. If man can make computers that can put an immense amount of information and facts and memory on a chip, and that is a creation, what must the mind of the Creator be? And I'm not talking about the mind of man. What a mind man has. But if man, let's put it this way, if man, a creature, has such a capability in his brain of creating computers, of reasoning and logic and debate and meditation and prayer and worship, what must the mind of his Creator be? To remember everything. What a blessed word it is to hear. He will forget. He will cast all our sins into the deepest sea. He will remember them no more if you come to Christ. The saints, the angels, the books, your own word, by thy word thou shalt be condemned. Every idle word that you will speak, you will give account. You will be your own judge. You will judge your own self. We shall judge angels, the Bible says, not just the world. Do you understand that it's very possible and probable from Isaiah 14, the very victims of criminals, even the unsaved, will be the judges? Remember when it speaks of that wicked person descending into Sheol, and they said, "There's the man that deceive the nations." And there's a probability intimated in Scripture that when a person stands before God, that his victims will be there, whether they be on the right or the left. And God will say, "Yes, here is your murderer." There are people that have shot people from behind and they never knew who killed them. Those people that perished on those flights never knew who those terrorists were. Have not a clue. The day's going to come, but it'll be repeated for all to hear. Here is the terrorist of flight such and such that crashed into the Pentagon, that crashed into the towers, that crashed into, plummeted headfirst into that field in Pennsylvania. Here he is. And that Egyptian that in the midst of the flight over the Atlantic Ocean, while the first officer was visiting with the passengers in 1999, all of a sudden the man took the plane down. And the first officer, the pilot, rushed into the cockpit and says, "What's going on here? Pull with me, please pull with me." And that was it. And all those people perished as it went nose diving into the Atlantic Ocean. The world will know who that second officer was, that co-pilot one day. His victims will be there. The Queen of the South, the Ninevites, shall rise in the judgment. Believers will be there. I told you about Christ. I loved your soul. I cared for you. I took your deceit and your hatred because I loved your soul. Oh, the sad thing is that people will see those who pled with them for their souls. Will it not be if Herod went to hell that Herod will see, Herod Agrippa will see Paul? Oh, altogether you became a Christian. I would that I would altogether persuade you to Christ. I tried, Herod. They will see that on the faces of believers with tears down our street. There are tears streaking down our cheeks. But friend, let's set aside the saints and the angels and the victims of crime. Like at the cross, ultimately it was God that executed Jesus Christ. Ultimately, especially and personally, it'll be Christ that will execute criminals. I shall say, He shall say unto thee, depart from me, ye cursed. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. I will repay. Behold, He cometh to judge the world. Friend, this is no boy crying wolf. This is a boy that's seen the wolf. Payday is near. Mayday should be clear. Mayday, mayday, for payday is coming. Schedule the judgment day into your calendar, friend. Put it into your thinking. Factor it into your planning. Prepare to meet your God. The name of the Lord is the only strong tower. If you run to Him, you'll be safe. Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. Oh, brother and sister, this is real. We've been so sermonized, sometimes I wonder if we're so paralyzed and desensitized, and it's not the fault of the Word of God. We should say with conviction like Job, know that there is a judgment, friend. Do you not think about judgment day? Would you not put it in your schedule? Where would I put it in my schedule? Would it be in January? Would it be in February? Would it be in December? Friend, I would put it at the first, before the first day of every month. I would put it at the top of every month on your calendar. Every believer should prepare for judgment day. We should all have a judgment day mentality. Did not Christ teach this? Be ye ready, for such an hour as you think not, the Son of Man comes. Did he not mean us as well when he said, prepare to meet thy God? Did he not mean us when he said that we take heed that we lose not that which we have wrought, but that we receive a full reward? Count on the day of judgment, friend. Alas! Let it be a grief to you if you're not prepared. Take these things seriously. Prepare to meet the Lord by believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't rest until you're secure in Christ, safe in the arms of Jesus, saved by His blood, washed in the blood of the Lamb, justified by His righteousness, accepted in His sight for Christ's sake. Until you become a child of God and are born again, you are not safe. You're on slippery ground. Their foot shall slide in due time. Please, believer and unbeliever, factor in the judgment day in your thinking and your planning and your praying and your living. Brother and sister, let's go forth with this sobriety, this serious truth in our hearts. Tell people there is a payday coming, and it's not Friday, and it's not talking about salaries, it's talking about judgment, God meeting the Lord face to face.